Welcome to Season 2 of Women Words Wisdom, a podcast for women over 50 where I share stories that recognize and give voice to the ways women are moving through life as they age. Stories about our physical and emotional challenges, as well as stories that reflect our courage and determination in order to inspire, support, and give voice to women everywhere. I hope you will find your own stories reflected here. I hope you find community. I am Robin Salcido, a working writer, photographer, and artist. Let's share our stories. And I invite you to connect with me at Our Stories Today. The link is in the show notes. Welcome to the Women Words Wisdom podcast, where I will share stories about life after I turned 50. Welcome to season two, I should say. This season, we are going to dive into probably a few more personal stories on my part with an interview here and there. And I thought it would be a great way to launch this podcast on something that was on my mind a few days ago. I went out for a little walk, and while I was walking, I suddenly remembered, and I honestly can't remember what made me think of it, but I remembered my life before I moved here. I now live in Colorado, and I used to live in Massachusetts. And I was thinking about how you just can't see what is lying in front of you when you're stuck in a moment. You know, right now, many of us get stuck because most of the news we get is bad news. But what we can't see is that this too shall pass. We don't know what's coming. So I guess what I'm trying to say is we're all a part of a much, much bigger picture, hard as it is for us to remember that most of the time, especially right now. But I started thinking about before moving here, I had no idea what my life was going to be like. In fact, what was so exciting to me was the idea that I didn't know. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was a few years after my divorce and I was unencumbered. I mean, aside from my two children who were young adults at that time. And all I knew was it was time to figure out who the hell I was. And I know that sounds so trite and cliched, but any woman who I think has had a child, has been married for countless years, and suddenly finds herself alone, may find themselves in the exact same spot. We make decisions automatically, right? And some of those decisions are, what am I going to feed my family for dinner? You know, where am I going to get my children the clothes they need to start school or to begin going to parties or costumes for a play or, you know, lessons so that they can take their SATs. Your life is pretty occupied with the people you are caring for. And I happen to have stayed at home. I didn't work until the last few years of my marriage. And I think in some ways that complicates things even more because you don't have a profession that will remind you who you are. Anyhow, this ramble brings me back to how this all began for me, where I am today. And I am now married to a beautiful, I like to consider the right man for me. I mean, for the first time, my best friend, my lover, and somebody that I can talk about anything with, someone I love to be with, and someone who is willing to give me the space I need when I need it. But it didn't just happen. You know, I was single for, oh my goodness, probably 10 years, 7 years. I did, you know, I had a few flings, but no long-term relationships. And in fact, when I met Rob, wasn't even considering that. And I thought today I would tell you a story about how I came to be where I am today, how that journey, that adventure happened, because it was definitely not a plan. In fact, when I met my husband, as you'll see in the story, I had no desire to be aligned with a man. I liked the idea of a boyfriend who, you know, I saw now and then. I liked the idea of a lover, but I was not interested in getting married again. I did not want to take care of a man again. But life has a funny way of bringing us exactly what we think we don't want, and then we find out, whoa, that was what I really wanted. So I'm going to tell you a story, and it's called Dating After 50. And the main reason I put it out there is because many of us at this stage in life find ourselves single again. We may be divorced. Our spouse may have sadly passed or become very ill. We just may be in a situation where we are single. And I don't know about you, but I know during those early days for me, my dear friends wanted more than anything to see me with somebody. They were worried about me alone. So this is for those of you that aren't sure you want to be connected again, because I'm here to tell you, being alone is absolutely fine, at least for a while. So here's my story. Online dating after my divorce in the spring of 2006 at the age of 47 was not immediately on my mind. I had two teenagers still at home, and romance just wasn't a priority. Then summer approached, and with the encouragement of friends, I decided to give it a little whirl. This could be fun, I thought. I didn't take it very seriously. I had raised two daughters, managed a home with a depressed husband, housebroken a puppy, had two roommates in addition to my young adult daughters, and always had to put clothing on before I went downstairs to brew my coffee. Another responsibility was not what I was looking for. But I signed up for Match.com over a glass of wine with the help of a girlfriend. We giggled, trying to describe who I was and what I wanted in a date. And then I took a deep breath, clicked the key, and my profile went live. It wasn't long before I began to get winks and waves and emails. And that attention had me giddy at first. Talking to single men as a single woman for the first time since the age of 30 was invigorating. I felt life creep back into my middle-aged life and allowed that wind that had been knocked out of me with my divorce hearing to become a memory. So I met Jay online, and the attraction was mutual. We exchanged phone numbers, and he began texting me until we eventually decided to meet for dinner. "Be careful," my friend said as they told me the rules. I was to drive myself, and I had to tell them where I was going. Under no circumstances was I to get in his car or go anywhere else. But Jay and I enjoyed our conversation so much that when we were done eating, he suggested we keep talking in his car. I said, "Sure." The funny thing is, the thing my friends warned me about were not the things I should have been worried about. What I should have been worried about is that though I felt pretty and sexy in my tight jeans, heeled boots, and feminine top, my insides were raw and in need of a rest. A rest from the quagmire of relationship. I was too tightly wound in self-avoidance to just have fun and not become emotionally involved. "He's just your rebound man," one friend said after my crush for Jay became all-encompassing. Another implored, "Just have fun. Don't get involved. You have two teenagers at home you need to focus on." Good advice, but here's the thing. I didn't want to focus on the shit show of my life. And it took years before I understood this, but underneath the nice clothing and exhilaration of flirtation, I was furious, enraged, pissed off. Tired of doing what other people needed, tired of doing what I was told I should do. I had devoted 18 years of my life to caring for a husband, only to find myself alone and dealing with financial uncertainty. So I did what I wanted. And you know, despite how things ended, perhaps it was the right thing for me after all, because of where it brought me. Jay was the best and worst thing to happen. The worst because I fell and fell hard, because he became the mirror through which I viewed myself. I was starving for attention and affection, for a man to tell me I was beautiful to text me countless times during the day and say, just thinking of you, or let's grab dinner tonight. We're talking distraction on steroids. I mean, why think about my own life, alimony, child support, my crazy high mortgage, lack of retirement funds, you know, that was due to staying home to raise my girls, or frankly, anything serious when I could just think about him. I mean, I had a man who thought I was hot stuff. He would save me. I fell and I fell hard. I was not ready to put myself out there. Or maybe I was. Maybe I needed a good hard slap in the face to focus my energy on me again. Maybe if I hadn't been dumped by Jay, I would have continued to avoid myself. Like many things in life, this view backwards makes me cringe. My neediness, the desire for avoidance, how I so quickly sought someone to save me instead of saving myself. We broke up just 2 months after our first date, and I fell apart. My anxiety went through the roof, and I could not see any light at the end of the tunnel. The world felt dark and without hope. I so badly had wanted someone to take me from this darkness. Losing Jay was the thing that finally forced me to come face to face with the magnitude of loss I was actually encountering. My in-laws, friends, my second home in the mountains. That sadness couldn't be avoided any longer. It was walking through that fire, the one that involved letting grief and personal introspection back in, that brought me back to me. I hated the shadows that descended on me, but today I suspect they were necessary. Because of that descent into a place that felt devoid of light and joy, I either had to learn to crawl out or abandon hope. I had to decide, do I want to live or do I want to fade away? I had to learn to discard what hadn't served me and retain what lifted me up. For the first time in my life, I was selfish and took care of me first. I booked a trip to Havasu Canyon with REI Adventures on impulse a month or so after my relationship with Jay ended and began to travel and hike alone. By the time I was 50, I had decided to move to Colorado. I needed a change. Each new adventure brought insight and confidence that were building blocks to this new life. I made a lot of mistakes, and I suspect I hurt some people along the way. Frankly, I didn't know what the hell I was doing, and that was the point. Learning how to begin again, how to persevere, how to buy a new home, how to let go of the hurt when abandoned by old friends, how to make new friends, how to make decisions alone, and how to become my own best friend. My years alone gave me a priceless opportunity for discovery. I had moments when I was lonely, but they were rare. Evenings alone at home, watching a good documentary with a big glass of wine with my dog Tigger on my lap, were moments I treasured. There were men here and there, but nothing lasted more than a few weeks. You know, it's funny. The only reason I tried out dating sites was due to the push by my friends. And after I moved to Boulder, I gave it one more try, but I had to acknowledge this just wasn't what I wanted the focus of my life to be. I didn't want to take care of a man. Single life suited me just fine. Until Rob. 7 years after my divorce, and when I wasn't looking, when I was ready to say yes again to everything a partnership had to offer. Every woman experiences being newly single differently, and I remember friends who were newly divorced who immediately began searching for a new partner. I like being married, they might say. And that's okay. Growing older without a mate can be daunting. Being alone isn't for everyone. But neither is being married. We need to feed our own individual souls. You know, there are countless sites for women venturing out into the dating world later in life. But to me, Too many of them sound like a how-to book and remind me of going fishing. Sometimes, just maybe, once you stop looking, you find what you were searching for all along without knowing it, without following the rules. I wrote that's on the blog if you would prefer to read it or, you know, would like to dive more deeply into it. And, you know, I did hear from some people said that online dating was wonderful and that it really worked for them. And in fact, I've been witness to that. I know a number of people who have met their current partners online. And that's fine. That's totally fine. But for me, I think the point I'm trying to make here is that I had to listen to myself here. That just isn't something that feels good to me. It feels artificial. I like just randomly meeting people and getting to know them before I could decide if I wanted a date. And, you know, the other point there is that anyone who's done online dating knows it takes a lot of time. I mean, you go out with a lot of people and, you know, I went out with a fair amount of men. But I will tell you, with the exception of Jay, I was bored. I would, you know, get all excited, getting ready to go. And then I'd meet this new friend and we'd sit across from each other and start speaking. And I'd be like, we have nothing in common. I'm not interested in anything this dude has to say. So we're all different. And I think that the key is do what is best for you. And it is so okay, even though we don't live in a culture that tends to view it that way, but it is so okay to be alone. It is so okay to just play it by ear. It is so okay to let serendipity take over. And, you know, it won't work. Everybody who does that is not going to meet someone, but maybe that's okay. You're okay by yourself. You're okay with a mate. And as women, we are okay. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that there is something in here that gives you a little bit of a zing or something to think about. And if you are alone, I want you to know I hold you. I hold you in my heart, and I hold you as you venture out and try to make whatever decision is best for you. Thanks for listening.